Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walters Show here on Red Sky Radio, Red Sky Radio Network, I should say. God bless you today. Boy, there's just so much going on. It seems like every week I have a hard time fitting in what I want to cover. But I'm going to try to confine my comments today, of course, to things that are happening and where applicable to the Word of God. I try not to cover things that are covered extensively in the mainstream media, unless I have some particular take on it that I'm not hearing from somebody else. And you will hear that today about the fires in L.A. Not from a biblical standpoint, just from an analytical standpoint. Let me just put it that way. But as I mentioned, we try to start with good news, try to end with good news. I can never quite promise that. The start, I can promise, and this one is not news, as you no doubt have heard it, but there's a comment I have to make about it, and that is Donald Trump, who is, what, now 11 days from being sworn in, and it can't get here fast enough. Oh, my gosh. Joe Biden, nobody hates America. Nobody acts more unchristian than this guy who claims he's Catholic and so forth. But well, that's not the good news. We'll get to that in a minute. The good news is Trump's announcement of renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Now, who needs to approve this? No one. No one. If Rand McNally wants to produce maps that still say the Gulf of Mexico, I'll keep my $15. I will keep my $12 for the AAA road. I love road maps. I don't like computer geography. I like the big map laid out in front of me. I won't travel without a map. And if they don't make the changes, forget them. I won't buy their crummy atlases if they don't make the change, because there's no one who needs to approve this. Not the UN. Tell them to take a hike. Not the World Health Organization. And guess what? Not Mexico. No, they don't have a vote in this. Mexico has no vote in the decision of what we call that Gulf. That's point number one. Point number two on this is I cannot even imagine. This blows me away. I can't imagine anyone else beside Trump ever thinking about doing this. Who? This has never come up before. I mean, it's not, buying Greenland is not novel, but this is. I would never in my life think about renaming the Gulf of Mexico. I would just think, well, hey, you can't change that name. If some guy is Steve Spencer, would I have the right to go out and change Steve Spencer's name? Well, no, of course not. But this was a name ascribed years ago, and I'll tell you what, if they're changing the names of mountains, if they're changing the names of football teams, if they're changing the names of national parks because of some woke crapola, then we can go change the names geographically. We don't have to call it the St. Lawrence Seaway. We can call it Larry's Water Park if we want. And then somebody else can change it back. Just what Trump's going to have to do with all this nonsensical slap in the face, kicky in the rear end, stabby in the back stuff that Biden is doing in the last few minutes with letting Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists go free. And, oh gosh, you know what? I got to keep this to the good news. I'll get to the bad news soon enough. Trump's exact comment here is, we're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. which has a beautiful ring. And I got to tell you, it does. This sort of makes me want to buy property in Destin, Florida, because it's no longer in the Gulf of Mexico, it'll be on the Gulf of America. Nothing against Mexico, I just want it named after us. He said, this covers a lot of territory, the Gulf of America. What a beautiful name. And it's appropriate. I don't know. Maybe somebody else had this idea. I have not read about it or anything of that sort. And like I said, it's a little different than the Greenland story. But I'm going to go to that. So this is Donald Trump Jr., and which I mentioned last week briefly, and Charlie Kirk, and somebody else who I can't think of his name, and I don't even know who the guy is. Maybe it's her pilot, because it's not named in the article that I'm reading. But they were in Greenland on January 7th. And they're looking around. I know the whole idea of purchasing Greenland, which seemed kind of crazy. But then I found out that there had been those two times in our history, in 1847 and then in 1948, when Harry Truman floated the idea and made apparently an offer to buy Greenland. And like I said, the population of Greenland is somewhere close to the population of Green Bay. Green Bay, Greenland, same population. And so Trump had said, here's a shot of Don Jr. and my reps, and he's speaking of Charlie Kirk, landing in Greenland. He said the reception there has been great. They and the free world need safety, security, strength, and peace. And Trump goes on to say with this, that this is a deal that must happen. MAGA, make Greenland great again. Oh my gosh. And, you know, is it possible? Of course it is. I mean, we bought Alaska from the Russians. They still regret that deal. $7 million. Well, that was a lot of money now, but it was a lot then. And obviously, Russia regrets that deal and somehow thinks that they can revoke it. What a bunch of baloney. But Trump goes on to say, if the people of Greenland want to be part of America, which I hope they do, they would be most welcome. Now, I'm just thinking, all right, you get this help from Denmark, Greenland does. It's under the protectorate of Denmark, but it's self-governing. So Denmark is not directly involved in its governance. But the people of Greenland are probably thinking, gosh, what happens if we were to become part of the United States? What if Greenland was the 51st state? Let's forget Canada a minute. But and I covered a few weeks ago stuff I did not know until I recently researched the importance of Greenland and why we've tried to buy it on two previous occasions, and especially now because of the shipping that goes through there, because it is where ICBMs would come most likely from Russia. It's the shortest distance from China or Russia to the U.S. is over that part of the world. I didn't know that. I mean, I'm kind of a geography geek, but I never paid much attention to that stuff. And you consider all the potential natural resources there. And we already have a base there. We have a Space Force base there. Charlie Kirk writes, make Greenland great again. And then he writes, Trump Jr., talking about Donald Trump Jr., visits Greenland, just browsing around. But this fellow, and I'm sure you can find people to say anything that you want them to say, right? Okay, but there's this guy who was on, don't know his name, but he put out a video, and it's kind of gone viral, and it says, buy us. It's a Greenlander. I don't know what they call them. If they're green, I don't think they call them Danes. I think they're Greenlanders or whatever. But he's a native, and he spent some time giving Trump reasons to purchase this giant territory. Please buy us. Take us under your wing. Let us be part of you. We want to be part of something that will make this area great. Not part of Denmark, which is a loser country these days. Oh, they're kind of waking up about a few things, but goodness sakes. I mean, how many times do you have to do something stupid before you start to think, well, maybe we shouldn't let in all these immigrants. Maybe we shouldn't do this, and maybe we shouldn't do that. And that part of Europe has just gone left and anti-Christian. Now, I don't know where they are exactly today, but I know where they've been in the last several years. And so I don't know how this happens. If it's a self-governing territory, who do they buy it from? Do they actually buy it from Denmark? I would say so. The price that seems to be thrown out there is a couple billion bucks. Let me ask you a rhetorical question. What do you think is a better investment? Spending $1.5 billion? Well, heck, you know what? Let's move the decimal point. Let's make it $15 billion to buy Greenland, or another $60 billion for Ukraine. We have flushed so much money down the toilet in Ukraine to fight against the Putin regime, a country that's got one-third the amount of population that we do, the country that is now conscripting 16- and 17-year-olds because they can't force them put together an army to maintain the attack and the war in Ukraine, and we're all worried about them taking over Eastern Europe. They don't have the bodies to do it. They don't have the guts to do it. They don't have the money to do it. If they're bogged down all these years in Ukraine, why do we think that they would be then immediately taking over Eastern Europe? And you know what? This is an insight. Just arrived. If NATO wants to protect Ukraine, sans the United States, without our help, without our money, go do it. But buying Greenland would be an effort and a contribution and an enormous contribution to the protection of NATO. Now, it's not a matter of being part of NATO. We don't need to be. This would be a matter of protecting Western Europe and actually parts of Eastern Europe now because they're a part of NATO. What we could do with that proximity would be of far greater value than just kissing, and you know the other word I want to use, down the drain, all the bucks that we spend in Ukraine, which does nothing to strengthen the U.S. or NATO. It's just part of Nikki Haley, the rhinos, and the left wing's military-industrial complex incestuous relationship. Man, I never felt more about buying Greenland than by the end of this podcast. I have fully done talked myself into it. People say from the South, well, what fur? I have a client who was raised in southeastern Kansas, which is probably, you know, it's partly Midwest, partly South, sitting there just with Arkansas and Missouri and Oklahoma right across the borders there. And she said, when I moved to California, she said, there's only one thing that I did. I made sure that I no longer said, what fur? I'm not going to say what fur. Well, here's what fur, the rest of the world. This is going to be a protect. I get it. And I've gotten it more today doing this podcast than what I did in the preparation for it. And I covered this story a week or two ago. This is increasingly integral to the protection of the Western Hemisphere, generally the Northern Hemisphere of the Western Hemisphere, specifically as well as NATO itself. Now, we move on to Justin Masseuse Trudeau. You know, that's what he was. He was a masseuse. Nothing against masseuses, but that's hardly the training ground to be prime minister. What a loser. What a sucker. What a piece of crap. There's nothing that I can say about him that I would be embarrassed about saying about him. And the word says, well, don't despise your rulers. Don't speak evil of your rulers. I understand that. But you can speak the truth, number one. Number two, he's not our ruler. So we can say what we want to say about him. The fact that he resigned is 100% due to Donald Trump. Whoever the replacement is going to be an improvement. I don't really want Canada as a 51st or a 52nd state, depending just upon how big we are getting. But sort of imagine for a second the United States consisting of the current geography and Canada and Greenland. My concern about Canada is that I think it's going to send more Democrats to Congress and into the Senate. And I'm not sure that I want Canadians running for president of the United States. Michigan has already suffered from having Canadian-born governors, and they're all on the left. So I'm not so crazy about that. I'd have to see proof of, well, I don't know. But anyway, I'm thinking what Russia and China would say if Greenland and Canada and the United States were one country. Forget the trade treaties. This is one country. My guess is Xi Jinping, I can't even think of his name. When I can't think of his name, I call him Chu Kao Dung. And Putin, I think they would simultaneously, in harmony, simply say, oh, crap. This is bad. All of a sudden, without question, the biggest country in the world, and they don't really like us, and we don't really like them that much. So we're going to have to do what Micah Brzezinski and Joey Scarborough and Justin Trudeau and all the others have had to do. We're going to have to suck up to Trump. Wow. Okay. Next, we're going to get to these fires thing, because this is something that's pretty important. Because I can hardly wait to share what no one shares. And I mean no one. I don't know why it's escaped people, and because it seems to be so obvious. But first of all, because by the time you hear this program next week, we will be within 48 hours of dumping Biden. Depending upon how and when you listen to this program, this might be the last program you hear before Trump is president. Even though it's 11 days, some people get the program later in the week and so forth. So Biden has released 11 Al-Qaeda-linked prisoners held in Guantanamo Bay. You see, this guy should be tried. And I'm serious. Two people need to be tried for treason. Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas. And Congress, with a conviction, can do with that as they will. Most people think if you can get convicted for treason, it means you're going to be executed. Well, that certainly is an option. But the Constitution actually says that Congress decides what to do. Well, in the case of the Rosenbergs, who sold their secrets out on the atomic bomb to the Soviets, they did get executed. And because they were the only ones ever tried for treason, convicted and executed, the thought is that simply is the punishment. It doesn't have to be. It's whatever Congress wants to do. Firing squad? I don't know. Run bamboo shoots under their fingernails? They can do whatever they want. And, obviously, they need to be convicted. But have they not committed treason? When you release prisoners sworn to destroy the United States of America, are you not aiding and abetting the enemy? When you let in a gazillion Iranians and whack job Afghans across the southern border, maybe designed like the guy in New Orleans. I mean, whether he was an ISIS conscript from foreign-born origins or from domestic-born origins. The fact of the matter is we have ISIS links and cells set up in this country now because of Alejandro Mayorkas. He should be tried for treason, giving aid and comfort by not guarding the border and letting in our enemies, which have been foreign enemies, which he has sworn by the Constitution to protect us against, and domestic enemies, which he's sworn by the Constitution to protect us against. It's just that the foreign enemies have now become the domestic enemies under Alejandro. I can't even tell you how much I despise that jerk. Well, it's not the end of it. Obviously, there are a bunch of other things that Biden is guilty of, which, you know what, I think I better just cover it, take care of it right now, get it out of the way so we can be done with it. As one group writes, it's a spit in the face of every American who Joe Biden is pardoning and who he might pardon, because now he's getting ready, they think, to pardon various people, from Pelosi to the list is a mile long. Preemptive pardons. Whether he has that authority or not, we don't really know. I guess the case would be, and Trump is not going to pursue these people. He's not. You can do one of two things well. You can't do both things well. You can't spend your life in the past going after the enemies and also trying to go forward. However, there has to be justice. To some extent, I do not know how that plays out. It's just that to the extent that you go after these left-wing, anti-American, Christian-hating schmucks, then it needs to be totally and completely delegated to a new, revamped, repurposed Department of Justice. That has to happen. And the importance of having the right person at the DOJ is a feature of Trump not having or wanting to spend time dealing with administration of justice. That's not his best job at this point in time. It may have helped him get elected, and no doubt did. But we can't make America great again if he's fully invested and consumed with the enforcement and punishment of our domestic enemies. We should punish them. We need to go after Mayorkas and Biden and a whole host of others. And if they all want to move out of the country, guess what? Maybe it's a good thing they can't go to Canada or Greenland. Just skip that as a temporary address, you jackasses. Go to some country that will welcome you. And we know what countries those are. But it needs to be done. But Trump cannot spend his time on it because it's going to sap his energy and his imaginations and his all the things, inspirations, that's what I'm going for going forward with this country. Assign it and move on. But if you look at who Biden has pardoned, and giving congressional medals of honor, are you kidding me, to George Soros and Hillary Clinton? This makes me want to hurl. I am so bothered by this. You give the medals of honor, presidential medals of honor to two people who hate America and who are domestic enemies. George Soros is a domestic enemy at the level of Alejandro Mayorkas and Biden himself. Just the awarding of the presidential medals of honor is sort of a preface to treason charges, as far as I'm concerned. And then Bill Nye, the communist science guy, what a loser he is. I mean, all the people. I mean, one of the people. I mean, George Soros and Hillary Clinton getting the Presidential Medals of Honor. But the fact that who was it here? I'm trying to think of the person who, you know what? I got to move on. I'm gonna go down the wrong path here. But one of the Presidential Medals of Honor, it goes to a guy who's is in a picture with, of course, Ryan Ruth, the guy who was part of the conspiracy to assassinate Trump at the golf course. So, how does that? Why are these people? I mean, oh, Chef Jose Andre, I don't know, A-N-D-R-E-S, who is in a picture with Trump's assassination, or assassinee, assassinor, no. Yeah, the one, Ryan Ruth, he's in the picture with Chef Jose, who gets the Presidential Medal of Honor. And the chef is pointing to Ryan Ruth as the man. He's the man. Yep, he's the guy tempted to take out Trump. He's the man. So Joe gives him a Presidential Medal of Honor for highlighting, cherishing, lauding the guy who tried to kill Donald Trump. You know, scum is simply too nice of a word to describe Joe Biden. He needs to just go someplace. He needs to go someplace and die, either of natural causes on the beach in Delaware or in a federal prison, however that materializes. We know what happens in prisons, right? Well, we're going to get to one other thing about Biden that really is bothersome, but I want to go, I'm going to start this, we're certainly not going to finish this piece before the break, but the issue with the fires in LA, you know, it is a tragedy. It is horrible. I don't want anybody's property to burn, even if they're a bunch, mostly leftists. They're good people in California. They're a minority. They're good people in LA, and they're a minority, but they're good people everywhere, and there are bad people everywhere. Some places, a few places, the bad people are a minority. That's kind of cool. That's why people move to red states. But in this situation, I mean, God makes it very clear in the Word that He causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. He's provided for the sustenance of the whole world, of everyone made in His image. Just because they're made in His image doesn't mean they're going to heaven. But that's where they start. And their destination is oftentimes another story, because we know from the Word, far more people go to hell than go to heaven. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, I say that because the Bible says that. Wide is the gate, and many there are that go into the abyss, follow the path of destruction. But narrow is the gate, and few that find it, that leads to salvation. But the Word is extremely clear that hell will have a far, far greater population than heaven. God says it. Hey, that's it. He's in charge. He makes the rules. It's just up to you and me to believe Him and to abide by those rules, to follow those rules. So when I'm watching, and I hope you've seen it, go to WorldNet Daily, see the video of the mayor, Karen Bass, who cannot answer one single question posed of her, all incriminating. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why are you in Ghana? Blah, blah, blah. Right down the line, and she can't answer any of the questions. She can't answer one stinking question, and she just totally blank, 2 full minutes. And finally, she waits for security to whisk her away from this embarrassing situation. And why? Because she's never run into journalists that have the guts to ask hard questions. She hasn't run into anybody who's not a lemming for her. I'm just getting started. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup's got 8 cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall.
Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen. I know I played that only about a month ago, but the reason I'm playing it again is I woke up in the middle of the night, not too long back, and there's only two things that go on in the middle of the night. Either have to use a bathroom or God has something to say, something he wants to impart. And I thought of that song at 2:30 in the morning, and I thought, oh, man, okay, something's coming. I got up and I rewrote the lyrics to Hot Rod Lincoln. And to tell the story about Ahab and Elijah and the race back to Jezreel. And music tells stories. I love music. Music tells stories. And I rewrote that in a relatively short time that evening. And I have a church that's going to let me do that song. I think at the end of this month. And I forewarned them. I said, it's just not your typical song. It's based on Hot Rod Lincoln. And I'm trying to get the guitar lick down because that's a little faster than I can play. I'm not a lead guitarist. I'm a pretty good rhythm guitarist, but a lead guitarist, I can't pick that fast. So I don't know if I try to find a guitar picker for me or not. But anyway, it's going to be fun as long as I don't mess it up. Okay, back to the matter at hand. Karen Bass. So she comes back, and it's an Australian reporter that is in front of her. This has gone viral to some extent because the mainstream media won't cover anything that embarrasses Democrats. So this guy asked her, said, Mayor Bass, why are you in Ghana when you knew at least 24 hours before you left that a historic wind event and disastrous fire potential was going to be hitting the L.A. basin? Why did you leave? Mayor Bass, why have you cut the funding for the fire department? Mayor Bass, why did you cut and why did you actually lobby to cut the funding more than what was ultimately cut as because of a compromise? Went right on to, she couldn't say one stinking thing because she's a moron. She's just, I realize that's maybe synonymous with being a Democrat. Maybe I'm getting carried away here, but I've had it with stupidity on steroids on national TV and running and ruining cities. You see, there's there's only a couple letters difference between running and ruining. And she has done it. Gavin Newsom, as Trump calls him, although I call him Gavin Gruesome, they both fit, is also an incompetent bozo, a left-winger. I mean, not having the water supplied, not having the underbrush taken away because they wanted to protect the nature. Well, the nature are, what they're protecting are a bunch of dead stuff, which is fuel starter, which is why the fires are raging. Everybody from former secretaries of interior on down have said that aren't beholden to the left environmental whack jobs that you have to cut down some trees to make a more fire safe forest. Now, this is a news flash here to the left. This just came to me. I lived right on the edge of the Los Padres National Forest. We had a forest, a brush fire that burned right to our property line, which happened to be that particular property line, within about 300, 400 feet of our house. We evacuated, got our horses out. The whole we thought the place was going to get torched. And the fire department took up a position that stopped the advancement there. But anybody that knows anything about Western forest fires, we don't have anybody clearing out the dead brush to prevent a rapid acceleration by eliminating the storage of fuel that there is for these fires. But what happens to these precious trees when a fire is approaching? I'll tell you what they do. I don't know why this never occurs to the environmental whack jobs, probably because they're whack jobs. What do? They get out bulldozers, and they bulldoze out hundreds of feet, if not hundreds of yards, of trees that I thought we're trying to protect to cause and build a fire break. They clear out all of the fuel, which includes a lot of healthy trees, clear cut a path maybe a quarter of a mile wide in some cases, which is a gazillion trees, to provide the fire break. So as it approaches, it hits the fire break, and hopefully it doesn't spark its way over the area that they've cleared. If they will do that with an approaching fire, why does not California, which needs to pay for its own stupidity? No FEMA. Sorry, FEMA's out of money. I'm not suddenly glad FEMA is out of money. But if they won't do that to prevent the fueling of these fires, why, when the fire finally comes around and they're forced to deal with it, or they're up there cutting down with dozers on the fly hundreds of acres of trees to eliminate the advancement of the fire? And the Lesbo fire chief, yeah, that's right, the Lesbo fire chief, which is another thing. Karen Bass was lobbying for a $23 million cut to the fire department budget. She was saddened because she only got a $17.3 million cut. But with the money that apparently they didn't cut, or I'm sorry, with money that they still had, guess what? The LA Fire Department has launched onto a major DEI training program. There's no fire department in the country more woke than LA's, headed up by some Lesbo fire chief. And so when Karen Bass, totally embarrassed because she doesn't have jack squat crap diddly to say to an intelligent reporter, because she has no brains and no guts and no morals, and she doesn't know what to do when she's not surrounded with a bunch of lifelike lemmings that talk and act just like her and that carry her water, she gets into a news conference in LA and surrounds herself with a gaggle of government employees all applauding her efforts. Oh, thank you, Mayor Bass, for your leadership. What? Your leadership while you split for Ghana? You split for Ghana after you were already advised that there's going to be a major, maybe historic wind event, and there's never been a fire danger higher in LA than what could hit in the next 24, 48 hours, and you split to Ghana? Stay there, you witch. Stay there. And it's paid for by the taxpayers. But what does she do after she can't handle an impromptu interview by a gutsy journalist who doesn't really care other than anything than something, ooh, gosh, amazing. He cares for about the truth. He cares for accountability. Bass gets up there surrounded by a bunch of her left-wing lackeys at all different government levels who come up and attribute and give her great kudos for being the great leader. And then the one question that was kind of pointed from the crowd, she took a few questions at the end, she totally blows it off and says, what does she say? Well, we're Angelenos, and the point here really is that we need to come together. Hey, Karen Bass, You want angelitos to come together. If you want to come together, why did you separate? If you want to come together, why did you split for Africa when you knew a firestorm was coming? You call that coming together when you get your sorry tush out of town on a government taxpayer-funded trip to Ghana and then come back and then surround yourself with a bunch of lackeys? You do not have the guts. And what happens at the end of this presser? All the government employees do this governmental kumbaya and go around hugging everybody. Oh, it was really priceless. It was really special. I'll tell you what, Karen baby, you need to get fired pronto. L.A. needs to pay for this. California needs to pay for this. Don't come to Trump. I don't want to pay for your stupidity and your gutlessness, your lack of intelligence. And maybe I should do a follow-up, a sequel next week, to let you know what I really think of Karen Bass, Governor Grusom, and the idiots that run California. But that's not the end of this story. Now we're going to go over to a related topic so that when all the fingers point at one's incompetence, one's petulance, one's lying DNA, one's self-interest, one's moral debauchery and stupidity, when all the fingers point at that, guess what? You got to find something else to blame. So unless you wanted to really sound stupid more than she is, she could try to blame Donald Trump. Well, what an idiot. She didn't go that far. But they all fall back on, because they don't want to accept any responsibility, of course, who's to blame? Climate change, which means Republicans, conservatives, oil companies, those who actually do good jobs, work for a living, and help provide low-cost, efficient energy to low- and middle-income families instead of some stupid-ass EV deal, which nobody can afford and consumes more natural resources and leaves, frankly, a larger carbon footprint than a combustible engine. So all the fingers point, and now we're back to the bottom line. When you can't look at yourself in the mirror, you can't blame it on Donald Trump. You have to blame it on climate change. Here's the point that I do not understand why no one is making this point. They said, well, this fire is an issue of climate change and dryness and all of these. And of course, the dryness relates to climate change and everything else relates to climate change. Understand, we've had worse winds in the past in L.A. Worse. Well, there was a time when the winds clocked at 167 miles per hour. Well, was it climate change way back then when that happened? Was it climate change when this huge fire occurred back wherever? And they say, this is the worst since something else. Not the worst ever. Maybe it's the worst damage, but that's only because the population of L.A. has doubled or tripled or quadrupled in whatever period of time. That's the only reason the damage is up, is because the population is up. But whenever they say this is the worst since, then that means there was something that was worse in the past. This is the worst fire we've had since 1964, blah, 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 blah. When somebody, well, then tell me, was there climate change in 1964? Why aren't you blaming the 1964 fire on climate change? But you're only blaming this one because you're sorry. You're trying to cover your sorry tush. Why don't you blame it on the people, the governor, the idiotic environmentalist policies, which actually, and this is a sad irony, most environmentalist policies harm the environment. If you cut down the trees that needed to be thinned out of a forest, cleared out the dead wood and stuff, which they want to do, you're not hurting the environment. You're protecting the environment. This is a newsflash that the environmental wackos do not get. true conservatism in the environmental area means being a steward of the lands, not ignoring them because you think that somehow cutting down a certain number of trees might actually protect the rest of the trees. Yeah, that never occurred to them? Of course not. Here's what they will not cover. Has anybody talked about, because they don't want to talk about it, and there's a couple of reasons. One deals with climate change. One deals with policy. Non-climate change policy. Who is talking about ignition? You can talk about all this other garbage you want, but until you get down to the source of the fire, until you get down to the point of ignition, it's all irrelevant. Very early in life, before I went to law school, I spent a fair amount of my time with this insurance company as an arson investigator. I went to arson school. Guess what? It's all about ignition. Who cares that the house was full of old wood? Who cares that the fire department didn't have the men that they needed to because the fire occurred on Christmas Eve? What is the source of ignition? Meaning, what is the cause of the fire? Is it arson? I don't know if this is arson. They don't want to admit that this could be arson, and I don't know if it is. But they also don't want to talk about the fact that 80%, 80 to 85% of all the fires put out by the LA Fire Department are caused by who? Homeless people. Homeless fires trigger 80 to 85% of the responses from the LA Fire Department, LA County. We don't want to talk about that because the homeless problem then becomes a political problem, which is a political problem for Karen Bass and Gavin Newsome. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about arson because why? Arson now talks about the possibility of it being terrorist related because we know that they're out to destroy this country and sap our resources however they may. You see, you talk about the homeless, you talk about the immigration issue and maybe arson fires. Those questions, those issues force these politicians to look in the mirror and see what a piece of crap they are and how irresponsible they are. You see, this is a part, it just drives me nuts. Climate change is not the cause of the ignition. People say this is a great fire caused by climate change. Morons! Climate change does not start fires. You need a source of ignition. If it's a homeless person starting a fire, that's not climate change. If it's an arsonist, that's not climate change. And here is the proof. Climate change doesn't have anything to do with this. There are how many fires in LA? Well, there were three, there were four, there were five. And then last night, I'm taping this on what, January 10th, so whatever you read, it's Friday morning. Last I heard, there were eight. So you're telling me we have eight fires in LA that are caused by climate change. Spontaneous. Climate change does not spontaneously trigger anything. There are no electrical storms. The favorite for the left to want to blame climate change, we got weird weather causes climate change causes weird weather, we got all these lightning strikes and that's what's caused all these fires. Well, lightning does cause fires. I have no question about it. But there are no lightning storms at all. In fact, that's part of the problem, they say. We don't have lightning, but, wait a minute, that's the real problem is we're short on rain, and that's part of the cause. No, it's not the cause of the ignition. Ignition does not start because it's dry. Ignition is not there because of any alleged climate change. And here's the proof. What if it's climate change, is it climate change only happening and L.A. County and the city of L.A. Think about this. If as climate change is somehow the cause of this fire, which it can't be, it's not the cause of ignition because that's impossible. Some other agent has to be involved to ignite something. Why is it only, if climate change is the existential threat across the entire world, then why do we have 8 more or less spontaneous fires all in L.A. County? Why isn't Central California having spontaneous climate-caused fires? Why isn't San Diego, East San Diego in particular, where the largest fire in California occurred, East San Diego County? I was there. Not where the fire was, but in San Diego. Why isn't it happening up in Northern California? Why isn't it happening in Utah? Why isn't it happening in Western Oklahoma? Why isn't it happening in Northern Canada? Why isn't it happening in the Black Forest in Germany? If climate change is the cause of these fires, why isn't it causing fires anywhere except in L.A. County? Or are we trying to say L.A. County only is the only one that really has climate change? You can't say that. Well, yeah, it's more susceptible. It is a desert. Did it have less rain this last year? Yes. 1.5 inches less. I think it normally gets 12.5 and it got 11. No great shakes. It is basically a desert. It's never gotten a lot of water. And they've had varieties, a wide variation of water levels. And now they're claiming that when California floods with these rainstorms, it's also the cause of climate change. To them, climate change is a cause of everything that they cannot admit to have taken part in being responsible for. It's pretty simple. It's the boogeyman. They point to that. Oh my gosh. You know what? A fall hit a little early this year. The leaves turned earlier. Oh, that's climate change. Everything is climate change based to them, because it has to be. Otherwise, they would all be fired. They would all have to resign because they cannot look in the mirror and see how deceptive, how confused, how deceived they are. No. We didn't have fires everywhere. Yeah, it's wherever it's dry, there's a greater possibility of it. Duh. We've had that forever. We have climate change in the Bible, but it's not called climate change, and it really isn't climate change. It's called weather. Weather. Newsflash. Shock effect. It's really cold. Yep, it's called winter. It's really hot. It's called summer. And we have fall. We have spring. It's out of Genesis. There are multiple places in Scripture. I wish I had the time, and I don't. Multiple places in Scripture that speak to the fact that there is no such thing as anthropomorphic warming, man-made global warming. It does not exist. And the Bible tells us so. Oh, what do we sing? Oh, the B-I-B-L-E. Oh, that's the book for me. Stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Hey! Well, you throw the hey in if you kind of want to make it. That's a Polish version, where you throw the hey in at the end. But stay in the Word of God. Understand, when you hear these stories, do this. Pray. Ask God, what is really being said here? What are people trying to convey, and what is the truth? Well, we know what the truth is. The word says, thy word is truth. That's it. Thy word is truth. And if you believe the word of God and you read the word of God, you'll know the truth. And what does it say? The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free from the lies of the media. The truth will set you free from the lies of politicians on both sides of the aisle, whether it's the Democrats or the rhinos we have to put up with. The truth will set you free from scumbag indoctrinating professors who contend that they're giving you an education and all they're giving you is an indoctrination. The truth will set you free from anything and everything the enemy wants to throw at you. And it all goes back to Genesis, the devil, to Eve. Yea, hath God really said? Did God really say that? Did he really say that you were created in his image? Did he really say, you know, this is what it comes down to? Did he really say that? Well, let me tell you, because I can't get a really good job anywhere else, I'm going to be your professor, and I'm going to indoctrinate you into that some of you are guilty of white privilege, all you others that aren't white, you're victims, whatever. The truth sets you free from that. Free. And when you are set free, it does not matter what anybody says about you. Not at all. Say what you want. Hey, be sure and listen to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter this week. I got a great message here called, Who's Your Daddy? You want to hear this message. That is Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. God bless you. See you next week.